Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod. Howell and Jamie here in the north of England on the wall. Knights of the Black Watch.
Is it the Black Watch?
You know nothing, Howell Evans.
Thanks. Please get one friend extra to download the Box Set Pod as well as you.
Please, sir. The more
clicks we get, the better. And as usual, download the Acast app. It's really good. So, Season 2, Episode 6. I must apologise. The last couple of weeks, when I've listened back
shoddy counting.
My counting's been dreadful. I think last week I said it was Season 3, which is just absolute nonsense.
The good thing is no one's complained about this.
Yes, that's correct. No one's noticed, so it's fine. Or if you have noticed, you've been too polite to point it out. Last week was the Mad Men special. We'll be still dealing with the fallout of that.
Really?
Later on the podcast. No superstar guest this week. And we're away. Next week will be the last one for a couple of weeks because we're away on holiday. Also, I have been away on a mission. I went on a mission to find a celebrity in Rome, and you are going to find out what happened
really on
today's box set.
I actually didn't know this.
You wouldn't
believe. Makes me feel pretty stupid.
You wouldn't believe the A-list celebrity that
I bumped
into and did not talk to.
Right.
Because
looking forward
they
to
are that A-list that you couldn't speak to them. In fact, you know, by this point, we've probably put his name in the title of this podcast, which is quite misleading because I don't actually interview him. Mm. But it was supremely exciting.
Sounds good.
So, first of all, the latest box set TV news.
Let's get down on it. So, okay. If you go to theboxsetpod.com/news, you'll see all the latest news. I always pick out handpicked stuff that I think is most relevant and is most intriguing and try and pop it on there. I do also try and find the other article that's a bit juicy, but one of the things that I like to find is the new shows, the big new shows coming out.
It's been a good 30 seconds now without any news.
I'll do what I have to do. Yeah. All right. HBO, one of the big networks. Well, not network, cable channels in America.
I think we know what HBO is.
Just in case, Howell.
Jesus.
It's unveiled its new political comedy. It's called The Brink. Okay. Yeah. It stars Jack Black, Tim Robbins. Oh. It's out June the 21st on HBO, which means it'll probably take a bit of time to get to the UK, but either way, it's beginning. It's a show about an attempted potential apocalypse, and Tim Robbins and Jack Black, they play sort of major military and political figures who are trying to figure the situation out. It's a comedy, mainly. It's a comedy, but I think it's going to be very much of like a sort of...
Jack Black and Tim Robbins. What
it's a good
team. Great
team. It's a brilliant team. I saw a great poster for it. It looks like it's going to be really funny and interesting, and maybe a bit like The Thick of It style thing. A bit like The Veep, but with Jack Black. Also want to mention that Game of Thrones, of course, is huge everywhere in the world, and recently on NBC, they had the Red Nose Day, the comic relief thing. We have it in the UK, they have it in America on NBC.
They have Red Nose Day.
Yeah, they have Red Nose Day, Howell. Mm. So it got everywhere.
Wow.
And Coldplay did a special 12-minute video, a mockumentary-style thing with the cast of Game of Thrones, where they combined to form Game of Thrones the musical.
Oh, yeah.
It is brilliant, right? And this is the sad thing. Like, obviously, it's just a joke, but it would actually be a really good musical. And
it'll be a musical. One day.
And some of the songs in it were superb. There was a great there's a first ever incest song for the love between the Lannister kid, the Lannister siblings. Also, there's a brilliant song from Tyrion Lannister himself, Peter Dinklage.
Wow.
There's some really good music, and Coldplay wrote it all, and they're taking the mickey out themselves a bit and out of the whole experience and not out of Game of Thrones.
Can we pause and talk about Game of Thrones for a moment?
We can indeed. Let's
you
talk
sent
about
a tweet, Jamie.
I did.
From at the box set pod, and you said Game of Thrones season 5 has been a bit of a letdown so far.
I said
far.
Bummer. I said bummer. A bit of a bummer.
I thought that was pretty scathing.
I thought it was too.
But can I tell you my theory on this?
Yeah, go for it.
Game of Thrones works as a binge watch. I caught up with the first 4 series all back to back.
Yeah.
And it rattles along. Now, did you do that, or did you watch them week by week originally?
I blitzed the first 3 seasons. Yeah. And from season 4 onwards, I watched at a rate of an episode a week.
Okay, there's 2 possible things going on. Because, first of all, I think that the quality of the writing, the scenes, and the acting are superb. Like, I really do think that they are excellent on their own scenes.
Yeah, they're brilliant.
The problem that I'm feeling is that I want more to happen quicker. I want them to surprise me more, you know? Like the moment you expected one character not to die, they would die. Yeah. And they would always stay one step ahead of you like that. Now, I feel like I'm waiting a long time for any key thing to happen. And I wonder whether, though, that's because I'm waiting week by week to watch them.
I think it's that, but I think it's also the problem is with Game of Thrones is it's a massive world. Look at the title sequence now. Mm. Takes about 10 minutes to get through. You can make a cup of tea and a bacon sandwich by the time the title sequence is finished.
Yeah, but I love
because
it.
They've got to cover all the different vast cities, and gradually the world's expanded. And what that means is to get all these plots moving, you have to move from each one.
Yeah, eventually you'll have a 58-minute opening sequence, and then Tywin Lannister will fall into a pond, and then it'll be the closing sequence.
Exactly, and the problem is, like, it's hard because you've got so many plots running at the same time, and they're all going slower because there's more and more different character journeys that you're following. I mean, the entire season 5, we don't even know what's happening with Bran. Do we? Bran went off to find that
Which
weird
one's
tree.
Bran?
The kid who couldn't walk. Yeah. They've left that behind, and I'm sure they'll come back to it. But this is the slight problem with Game of Thrones. And a lot of people have said that from book 4 onwards, Game of Thrones becomes not just a difficult read for a lot of people. It becomes quite hard work. And I feel like I'm worried with season 5, not just as it felt like it's moved slowly, but it's also the plot has left me feeling very downbeat. And when I said it's been a bummer, I really mean I felt bummed out, whereas Game of Thrones season 4, which I think was the high watermark for Game of Thrones, and there's some brilliant episodes in that that was dark, but they were brilliant as well, and they didn't bum me out, not like this season has so far. Having said that, it might change.
I feel that way with The Wire still. I'm nearing the end of The Wire. I'm in the final series. But it's so tough.
It's so tough.
When there's a moment of comedy, I like laugh my head off manically.
Yeah. And you know what? The thing is, like, it's not that I want... I think you're right. It's about different shades. It's not that I want it to be happy endings and everything. I just want there to be a different... A change of tone.
What's the writer's name?
The writer is George R.R. Martin.
Somebody told me, and I've said this on the pod before, but not for a while, I think. Someone told me a couple of years ago. They'd obviously seen an interview with him or something. Or they said they'd heard that he's thoroughly enjoying making it. He's enjoying the money from it. And he has no intention of ending it. He just wants to carry it on.
Yeah,
and I feel like we're now moving faster than him.
Yeah, it's getting that. He's even said himself that there is a point where the TV show will take over his books.
Yeah, you said that. Yeah.
There's also an issue as well with the fact that the plots are now... A lot of people who've read the books and are massive fans are kicking off because of the plot is taking a divergent on the TV show from where it's going in the actual books.
Yeah.
I can't tell you because I don't want to ruin it for people, but there are things that are happening. George Martin himself came forward and said, listen, the TV thing is a separate thing. Yeah. It will go in its own direction. It's not going to follow the books religiously, which is fair enough. You know, I do understand that. And it's going to have to take its own way. And it's going to have its own voice separate of his.
But I find it a funny thing, and this was my problem with your tweet, is that I find it a funny thing because I still think that it is a superb show.
Oh, absolutely.
We're holding it, like you said, by its own watermark from season 4. We're holding it by its own standards.
Absolutely. I will not stop watching this show.
Yeah.
And I know that there'll be some brilliant episodes that are going to come up that I'm going to go, wow, that was amazing.
There comes a wonderful, beautiful point when you're watching a TV series when the opening theme music makes you relax, takes you away from the real world, and it's wonderful to hear it. And when that music starts, I just go, oh, yes.
It's excellent.
I want to nourish every minute. And then part of me starts going, I want to nourish every minute, but I also want this scene to have got us further than it has.
Yeah.
This person's just got in front of the Queen, and then at the end, the Queen, we want her to go, hello. Instead, she goes, get rid of him. And you go, oh, that's not resolved yet then. So it's like just a lot of not resolving, whereas in season four, things were resolved very quickly so that it made a rod for its own back and it had to be more creative and inventive immediately after.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I do mean it. I have been bummed out. I've come away from episodes feeling like, I don't need to feel down after an episode of Game of Thrones. But that doesn't mean it's going to continue. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop watching it. It doesn't mean it's not awesome. Back to news time.
News.
So also wanted to talk about this. Cuba Gooding Jr. has linked together with the Ryan Murphy who created Glee.
Mm.
Their new project is to bring the O.J. Simpson trial, the drama around that, to TV on FX.
Wow.
A channel that's brought you Louis C.K. shows as well. So it's going to be called The American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. It's going to focus on the perspective of the lawyers involved in the case. It's got David Schwimmer. It's got John Travolta involved.
Can I suggest something?
Yeah.
They have called that The American Crime Story - The O.J. Simpson Story. Because then they can do other series that's called The American Crime Series, and then they can do other ones.
Absolutely. And it's a controversial topic.
Maybe this is off the back of the podcast Serial, when they've realised true crime is such a well of possibility.
Absolutely.
I always worry with these things, though. If you were a member of the family of the person who got killed, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone in my family had got killed and they made a bloody TV series.
I know, it would be very hard. And the O.J. Simpson case is still one of those, the most controversial verdicts and controversial cases there ever was. And it is a tough subject to take on. Cuba Gooding Jr. is going to play OJ, though.
It'll be watched, though. It will be watched.
Okay. Elsewhere, do I mention this as well? Netflix have released a teaser trailer for a Bill Murray-based Christmas TV special.
Yes.
It's also going to have Sofia Coppola from his days of working on Lost in Translation, directing and creating it with him. It's called A Very Murray Christmas. Murray's going to play a version of himself who's worrying that no one's going to turn up to his new TV show because there's been a lot of snow in New York. And his guests are going to include George Clooney, Chris Rock, Miley Cyrus, Amy Poehler. There's some really good names involved. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Feels like it's going to be very much in the vein of Scrooged, a cynical Christmas kind of thing.
Well, that's what Bill does. I've seen Bill Murray interview Miley Cyrus. I mean, that's going to be a quality nighting. There's your news. Go to the page and have a little peruse yourself.
I like your news. It's good.
You know,
I do wonder whether this podcast should be a daily thing, you know, where you just give us the news, forget everything else.
I wouldn't like to say there's a lot of news every day, you know. There's probably news every week.
You wouldn't like to do any more work?
No, but there's a lot of,
of course there's news every day.
Yeah, but not good TV news. I mean, there's a lot of boring TV news.
So I went to Rome, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in Rome, and they're often filming in Rome because it's Rome, and, you know, it's a beautiful city.
It's got a lot of stray cats, Rome.
Yeah. So I'm walking...
Does it smell of cat wheat?
It doesn't smell of cat wheat.
Okay, carry on.
So I'm walking around Rome, right? And I walk down a side street, and we're in like the fashion district of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a hubbub of people, of excitement going on.
Okay.
And me and my wife, we go, what the heck's going on? There's a film crew there and a limo waiting outside a shop, a very fashionista shop. And we both go, what the hell's going on? And then we ask there's a couple that look like they might speak English. I don't know how you can tell these things, but they look like they did. And I said, who's here? Who is it? What's going on? Thinking that it would be, I don't know, what would you think? You'd think it'd be like an Italian thing, perhaps? Maybe a...
Robert De Niro.
Come on.
Robert De Niro filming in Rome.
Surely it wouldn't be someone of that calibre that would be there.
Who was it?
It was Ben Stiller.
Wow.
Did you talk to him?
No, he was inches away from me.
Well, that's the end of that.
Being ushered into a car. And I said to my wife, you'll hear my wife having a go at me at the end of this.
Great.
Because I, she thought I was taking a picture. I was actually recording for the box set pod.
Look at that.
Hit right on the spot.
Welcome to the box set pod. Ben Stiller has just got into a car. I'm being pushed by security for Ben Stiller, who's just got into a Mercedes-Benz next to me. Although I was pressing record on this, so I didn't actually see Ben Stiller. There's a lot of Italians around, I'll let listen to them. Ben is driving past me now, knock on the window. Hi, Ben. Hi, Ben. Yeah. Off he goes. Go on, get a picture through the window. No, window's gone back up. Was he on the phone? I think he was on the phone in the back. He was like talking to himself. I can't believe we just walked into Ben Faffing Stiller.
Yeah, and if you'd not been pressing record, I would have got a photo.
How did that stop you getting a photo?
Because I thought you were taking it, but you were pressing record.
All tension.
We need a record. We have Ben Stiller getting into a car next to us. Well, that's just...
Spencer's forehead.
Hey, we got his forehead. We got a picture of his forehead. Wow. And we
and that'll do. And he was dressed as Zoolander. He was filming Zoolander 2 in the fashion district of Rome.
Right.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, it was exciting. I can't believe you just went straight on as like you were introducing a segment for the box set pod.
That's how I think, Jamie. I directly link my life to my work. What would you have done in that situation?
I don't know. I mean,
nothing.
I could have recorded some average audio, I suppose.
You wouldn't know, would you? You wouldn't.
Okay, thanks for that, though, Howell. Thank you.
Unbelievable.
Thanks for nearly meeting Ben Stiller.
How's the guest booking going?
You know how it's going.
Yeah?
I did get a rejection email, though, from Jill Soloway's agent who created Transparent, the TV show, which
What's
was nice.
Transparent? Who's Jill Soloway?
Wow, you really need to work on your knowledge, Howell. Transparent won 2 awards at the Golden Globes for it's a comedy show from Amazon Prime.
You can't know everything.
Well, you got. Well, we've talked about it on the pod before. It's even more disgraceful.
No, I don't think we have. I don't remember
Jeez.
That. Should we get Luke Marsden on?
Yeah.
Okay, we will see what Luke thinks about current box sets. Luke was once on TV in Britain. He's now mostly unemployed and has 60,000 Twitter followers. Which
go figure.
Go figure. I don't know.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome
to the box set.
How are you doing, Luke?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm still here.
So, did you listen to the Mad Men special last week?
I didn't listen to the Mad Men special, no, because I was concerned about spoilers.
Yeah. But you should listen to it now you've watched the finale, because you have watched it, haven't you, Luke?
I have watched it, you know, and YouTube are quite pleased that I actively avoided Twitter for 3 hours.
Wow.
Believe me, that for Luke is a huge step.
It is. And to be honest, though, I have so many thoughts. And my first thought, you want to know my exact split-second thought after it is finished?
I'd love to know that.
Rubbish.
Whoa! Why do you have to be so controversial?
Whoa.
My exact split-second thought after it finished, Luke, was that's the best TV I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, this is the difference between me and you, Howell. You have some sort of optimism left in you, which is ridiculous.
That is an incendiary comment.
Right.
I mean, at the very least, you could say it wasn't your favourite episode, but to call the finale rubbish...
Explain yourself.
Anything other than his suicide was going to be rubbish for me.
Why? Why?
Anything other than him.
Well, I think we need to say now, again, we need to say, don't listen if you've not seen it.
Right, from this point on, there may be more spoilers, but we'll try and keep them to a minimum.
Yeah.
I just think, and but, you know...
And by the way, that doesn't mean that Don Draper doesn't die, all right? He just said suicide, so there we go. Go on.
I can try and redeem myself here, and this is what I will attempt to do with you now. Okay, so, obviously, that happened, the ending, and everyone was like, oh, you know, and I went on Twitter, people were talking about it, and there was a lot of mixed bag at first, and I think what people did, what I did, they researched a bit of the ending, they paused for thought, and thought, you know what, it was okay.
So you're all right. So you're thinking, right? Is
can you just tell me why, first of all? So the first of all, this was rubbish. How can you... Why did you think it was rubbish? Explain.
Okay, so I want to say, if you've not watched it...
We've said that, it's fine.
The volume down.
Say what you want.
Right. Okay, so I thought to myself, the entire hippie camp, the hour just happened. You didn't see Betty Draper die of cancer.
Oh, I didn't want to see that.
You don't need to see that.
I wanted Betty to remain as Betty, and I think that they did the right thing by just showing Betty. The last image was just of Betty as she's always been, as she's always looked.
I mean, speaking of death as well, can I just say, Rob, you didn't die of a heart attack, which I was definitely expecting. So, again, there wasn't nowhere near enough death in the episode for me.
Why does everyone have to die?
But it wasn't the point of Mad Men always that it didn't do what you expected, Luke. Isn't it just more inventive than that?
I think if you've taken a series like 6 Feet Under, where there was definitive finality at the ending. You saw them all die, you saw her do it, and I thought that's expected from Mad Men's ending.
6 Feet Under was a show that was all about death, wasn't it? And it was a show that every episode would begin with a death, and it was a very morbid sort of in that way, but I think it was right for For 6 Feet Under, that was a perfect, it fit the show, but for Mad Men, it doesn't have to keep people off to have a good ending.
No, I mean, you saw his confession to Peggy, you know, he confessed that he wasn't the guy that he's been pretending to be for all these years and things, and that was nice, but you know, I just expect a little bit more. I did, however, I mean, you know, right, you probably advised, research the ending, the significance of the Coca-Cola advert. I did go and research that, and actually, you know what, it was okay, that ending.
It was phenomenal. Luke, you know, I've said before about the problem with endings, and Dom became a real boy at the end. They became real characters. It entered our world, and you didn't need, if you'd have killed everybody off, you'd have been here disappointed. I'm sure you'd have been disappointed.
I
just wonder whether your relationship with Mad Men is that you never really liked it and therefore you want everybody to die.
No, I did. Honestly, I did like it. I enjoyed it every Thursday night. Me and three other people watched it in the comfort. What I will say is, ratings-wise, it did less than 100,000 for Sky Atlantic, but it was the best it performed in the entire season.
Wow. It was never going to be a big whopping...
But I think it will be. I really think that after Mad Men, you know, the next 20 years, people are going to watch Mad Men.
Yeah, and I'll tell you how they'll watch Mad Men. I'll tell you what, we'll revive Mad Men when they eventually give the rights to Mad Men to go on Netflix. That'll bring Mad Men back.
Yes, it will.
Yes,
absolutely.
That's very likely.
Which is what happened with Chuck, actually. Oh, no, I could have made it.
Oh, Howell.
Oh, but I could have made it. But that's the significance of Chuck, is that it got written off so many times and brought back, and now it's on Netflix. It's got this massive revival.
Luke, do you want to talk about something else?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if you've been watching a TV show that has now got a second season in America. It's called Madam Secretary. It's Tia Leone as Secretary of State. And you know what? It's excellent. It's a bit of a Good Wife / the West. I mean, it's not West Wing good, but it is good. It's a bit of light political fluff on a Thursday evening in the UK.
Speaking of which, I watched the first couple of episodes of the new Martin Sheen thing on Netflix, which is the one with Jane Fonda, the old people.
Oh, and Lily Tomlin. Yeah, is that any good?
Yeah, it is. I mean, my mum and dad would love it. It's definitely a Marigold Hotel type audience. But it's genuinely funny. Like, there's some really funny gags. It's just something, when people get older, they just are not as quick at delivering comedy because their brain isn't as quick. But it's true.
To Jane Fonda, she's 402. So,
that's
you
true.
Know, she's doing well. It's looking good, by the way.
But even so, sometimes I'm laughing at the line rather than their performance of the line, you know. There's some really funny gags in it, but I think they weren't the canon to deliver that line. But it is it's worth, you know, it's a light watch. It's worth it. It's got a lot in there, and there are some very funny moments of old people doing drugs and things like that.
Something else I want to quickly mention as well, it's just got big in America. In fact, again, renewed for a second season. It's called Wayward Pines. It's on Fox in the UK. And it's basically about an FBI agent, Matt Dillon, who goes in search of this small town in Colorado looking for two other FBI agents that have gone missing. Very interesting.
Yeah, this is the TV show that's been created by M. Night Shyamalan of Sixth Sense. And so it's going to be a very twisty-turny kind of plot, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is twisted. One thing I will say is, and this is a spoiler, again, it's spoiler central this today, people who've seen the first episode, and that's the only episode I've seen so far. There's been three on in the UK and more in the US. It does reveal at the end of the first episode that basically it the Wayward Pines is a town contained behind a giant wall. The reason why you can't get out is because it's kind of under the dome-ish sort of style. Mm. I hated that ending. I hope it changes a lot from that, because that wasn't great.
What, under the dome?
Well, Under the Dome was dreadful anyway, but the Wayward Pines, the ending of the first episode, kind of revealing that Wayward Pines is trapped behind a giant kind of like Great Wall of China.
It's a Truman Show sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Might give that a go. I've got a recommendation for you, actually, Luke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Channel 4. It was on last night, No Offence. Have you seen No Offence?
No, to be honest, after Big Brother moved from Channel 4, I don't really watch much Channel 4.
There we go, yeah, to get Big Brother in. You have to get Chuck in. Jesus, what next?
No
Offence is on Channel 4. It's written by Paul Abbott, who did Shameless. So it's like it's about police, cops in Manchester. And it's very good because you get to see, it's Manchester. But also it's a very good show because it's Paul Abbott, who's also done bits of Cracker, and he's just a brilliant writer. And it's like Shameless, but a police version of Shameless. It's really worth going to watch. It's funny and it's dramatic and moving as well. So No Offence, it's only just started on Channel 4, about 4 episodes in.
Yeah, it's good then.
I'll even though it's got Jambo from Hollyoaks in, it's still good.
But bearing in mind, you guys obviously recommended the likes of Mad Men to me in the past and Sherlock. So you know what, Jamie, I'll take your recommendation on board.
Give it a go.
That's good. What else is going on? The Wire. Have you watched The Wire?
No, I haven't watched The Wire, but I have. I'm currently watching somebody starring. Dominic West, of course, is starring in a big new show over here, and in the US, renewed for a second season, like they all have been.
The Affair.
It's called The Affair, if you're probably educated. And basically, it boils down to the fact that it's about a man and a woman who have an affair, but you see it from both sides.
Yes.
The episodes are split half and half.
Have you been watching it?
I have. I'm up to the fourth episode. Me and my girlfriend are watching it together because I struggle these days to find something that we both like and watch other than Pitch Perfect 2 at the cinema. Don't get me started. This is not
great.
A film review podcast.
Great, though, wasn't it?
Dreadful.
Review podcast. We had the Pitch Perfect...
We had the producer
on Max a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was hilarious.
The film.
Yeah, what did your girlfriend think of it?
Oh, she absolutely loved it, but it's aimed at females and hoes. But what I will say is that the entire thing about your fur is just, I think it's unique. I don't think we've seen something quite like that.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
It's really gritty. I mean, I'm really enjoying it. And Dominic West, by the way, I mean, you would think he was American. The guy pulls off an American accent superbly.
Welcome to Luke, who has never watched The Wire. Dominic West doing about 300 hours of TV with an American accent. Luke, tell me why you didn't like Pitch Perfect 2.
Oh, but we're not doing films, Harold.
How many times? It's a box set. You'd be able to get both films. That's why we introduced the producer. It wasn't just that we could get an interview with him. And that's why.
The fact that you're struggling for guests.
We get offered guests. Have they worked on a box set? Are there two films from one series? Then yes. If
outrageous.
It's just one film, no.
Right. Well, in that case, then, I will tell you that I enjoyed Pitch Perfect 1. Now, the only reason I watched Pitch Perfect 1 is because my girlfriend wants to go watching Pitch Perfect 2, and I thought, I'm not sitting in a film of a sequel that I'm not seeing the first one of, a rule that we should all live by. And I watched it, I just think it's a bad, almost rehash of what they tried to create years ago. It was just, it had the Dumb and Dumber 2 effect, but not as good.
Right, okay, 2 points.
How were your thoughts?
Number one, I laughed a lot. Did you laugh?
Yeah, I suppose.
Right, then it's done its job, it's comedy. Number two, Dumb and Dumber 2 is a great film. I don't care what anybody says. Dumb and Dumber 2 and comedies are about the comedy. And Dumb and Dumber 2 is funny. It got so scathingly reviewed. But what they're doing, scene for scene, with each other is funny.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I did particularly enjoy Dumb and Dumber 2. Way more than I enjoyed Pitch Perfect 2. Will there be Pitch Perfect 3? We both know that's going to happen.
Well, absolutely. I think, like, you know, with comedies, you should never judge comedies by the reviews critics give them. You should judge them by the audience rating for those, especially more than any other films, in a way.
Yeah, I agree.
Because comedies, the critics nearly all the time get it wrong.
Yeah. Shall I tell you what the Pitch Perfect reviews are on Rotten Tomatoes?
Do so.
Well, I will do that in just a moment. Another point I wanted to make was about... Oh, damn. Pitch Perfect 2, Dumb and Dumber. What else were we talking about? This is going to really annoy me. Oh,
what was it?
Well, we talked about
Dominic West.
The Wire.
The Wire.
I assume we're editing this bit.
No, this is staying in. Oh, God.
Dang it.
This is staying in. There's somebody sat on a train.
Oh, yeah, I got
right
it. Thank
now.
God for that. Right, here we go. So, we on our Christmas special, we interviewed Luke Evans from The Hobbit, yes?
I remember, yes.
Very good guest he was.
Word exclusive.
I was sent a press copy of The Hobbit, that film.
Yeah.
Yes, Jim.
I can't believe you've been upgraded to press copies of stuff.
Yeah.
Take that, Luke.
I mean, just the one. Got sent that and watched it. Finally watched it, like 4 months, 5 months after we actually interviewed Luke Evans. If only I'd have known. Luke Evans is basically the main part in that film.
He does a massive role in that. I told you this.
It's huge. The whole film is about his character. Like, it really is. That's the character that holds it all together for the vast majority of it. It's not really about The Hobbit.
I wonder how you get through an interview, Howell.
You did exactly what I did when you set me up with the Orange is the New Black interview. So I interviewed 2 stars from that. I lied to you and said, I've watched 5 episodes of the interview, never watched a single episode. The interview was my then radio show, quite lackluster.
Yeah, it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good. My interview with Luke Evans was awesome.
Well, it was tolerable. But what I'm saying is that if I'd watched Orange is the New Black and can do that interview again, brilliant.
Season 3, back in June.
Yeah, I've done that quite a lot where you interview someone and then you really realise what a coup it was to get that person.
Well, it's like David Oyelowo. I mean, Selma, he is Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
He's,
have you seen it?
No.
All right.
I've heard it's great.
Have you, Luke?
No, I've not, no.
Well, neither have I.
And he's right. If you go on to Metacritic and you can look there, Selma was the highest rated film by critics last year.
Wow.
Beat everything. Beat Birdman, beat Whiplash, beat...
And how many Oscars did he get nominated for?
0. Well, it got maybe a couple of noms, but not many.
The user rating for Pitch Perfect 2 is 75% from the users, 67% from the critics. Not much difference, but, you know, granted. Tomorrowland producer we spoke to.
Tomorrowland's been getting panned by critics, actually.
It has been panned.
Been getting a few stinking reviews.
I will tell you what the disparity is there. Gets 50% from the critic score, 60% from the user score.
Not too big a difference there.
I still think it'll be fun. I'm still going to go and watch it.
I still think have you seen the Tomorrowland trailer, Luke?
Yeah, I have, yeah, with George Clooney and Britt Robertson. Britt Robertson, of course, was in a short-lived witch-style TV show in the US called The Secret Circle, which, by the way, can I say, I absolutely loved. It was like Charmed, but with fitter women, but that got binned after 1 season.
There you go.
There you go.
The magic of Luke.
I think that's where Luke should end, really.
And do you know what? We've not had our other guy, Fife Dangerfield, on for ages.
Get him on next week.
We'll get him on next week and make sure he does something useful. As usual, we ask you for your recommendations. What is your favourite ever box set? Let us know and tell us why, and we will read it out on the box set pod.
Or you can come on.
Oh yeah, we'd love that. We'd love you to
argue the case. If you've heard us
let me explain something.
Hold on a minute. If you've heard us disrespect a TV show you like or want, or we've not talked about something you love, you can come on and you can demand that we talk about it and that we reappraise our opinion.
Let me tell you a little percentage. When people go on the radio or when they do charity events, Comic Relief we mentioned earlier, Red Nose Day, 2% of the audience get in touch. So 2% is the number of people who would traditionally be email after me saying, you can email us studio@theboxsetpod.com. We've done radio for many years, hundreds of thousands of listeners, and you might get 2 text messages when you talk about something. It's a tiny amount of people who actually get involved with stuff, and we would really love to hear from you. We read every email that we get sent. So email us studio@theboxsetpod.com. Simply tell us what your favourite box set is and say hello. We will not treat you poorly. That's it. See you next week. And Jamie's been offered an interview with the creator of Entourage.
Yeah, it's possible I might be able to do it. I'll have to see.
Will you be doing it?
I don't know. I don't know when it is yet.
I think it's a week on Tuesday.
Might be Monday, Tuesday. I'll have to check.
Okay.
I'm actually on my holiday, so I might be away.
You enjoy Entourage, don't you, Luke?
Well, I can pretend to enjoy Entourage.
Yeah, not sure about that. But yeah, there we go. So emails, tell us what your favourite things are, and if you've got any questions for Entourage Guy in case Jamie does the interview, email them to us, studio@theboxsetpod.com. See you next week, and thank you, Luke.
Bye.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.